going to confess something to you before I start the service tonight. Well, here it comes. Listen, I just want to tell you that we need God's Word so that we can combat the things in our minds that tell us something different than what God is saying. And I guess it was a week ago Sunday, I felt the Lord, there was something going on. And I couldn't get peace, and I kept having some dreams and different things. Thank you, ladies. And so I felt like I got a couple of scriptures that were basically scriptures for when you're going through something. And I was like, no, Lord, I don't want to go through anything. No. And I was like, Lord, you know what? I just don't put me through anything. Don't want any. And couldn't get peace. I'd pray. I couldn't get peace. And so I was outside. I went outside. This had gone on for a whole week, just, you know, fighting him, getting those scriptures, and then like, no, don't tell me we have to go through something. No. So last Sunday after church, I went outside, and I was really just needing to be alone. And so I'd gone outside, and I was listening, and this little dove just kept singing, ooh, ooh. And I could hear, who is he? Who is he? And I was like, oh, Lord. And it was just like, just watch. Just pay attention and watch. So I was watching the bird feeder and all these things. And all of a sudden, I just felt my heart so close to him. And so I broke. Come on over, Leanne. We're just going to love on each other. And I think you're going to need a paper tonight because we're all going to read these scriptures together that's on the back. But I just told him, I was like, God, I'm just going to tell you one more time. It's funny now. I was like, God, I'm just going to tell you one more time. I don't want to go through anything. And I just heard him say, who am I? Who am I to you? And I was like, well, Lord, you're everything. And I just started, and he's like, no, because there's a place that you won't let me go with you. That's rebellion. And rebellion is sin. And I was just like, it just pierced me. I said, but Lord, you know that I love you. I'm just being honest. You know, I'm just telling you the truth, how I feel. I'm just being honest. He's like, well, you can be honest. But when you don't want to go through something, if I'm taking you to it, then you're rebelling against me. And I was like, oh, Lord. Well, I just started crying. Then all of a sudden, the peace just started washing over me because I was getting back in agreement with him. So I reread all those scriptures on, I'll make you brave when you go through, you know. And I was like, okay, God, okay. So then, once I got in agreement with it, thank you, Diane, you cute girl. She's coming on over on her own. So when I got that and the peace came, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to be in agreement with you. I said, but Lord, whatever you're going to do, just do it quickly. I'm going to pray God's speed on it. Just, God, just let's get this over with. You know, just whatever it is, please, Lord, make it quick. And I'm telling you, be careful what you pray, because things have really been popping this week. But you know what? I have peace. And I've got to have his peace, and you've got to have his peace. And so when we're reading this, when we're studying John, I want you to know he's coming in, and he's trying to save them some trouble. But you have to listen to instruction. And he, even when somebody's giving you bad news, when it's from God, it's good news. Because he wants every dark hidden thing to be brought to light so that we're not caught off guard. And I can guarantee you, if you'll think about it, once you go through something, look back and see if God wasn't already giving you clues or scriptures, or you were getting like these, you know, whoa, you know, I call them yellow lights. So anyway, tonight we're going to be on 3 John. And on the back of your notes, we're going to read this together in just a little bit, because this is the Passion Translation. I wanted to just tell you a little story first. There were two Jewish men, and they were brothers, natural, biological brothers, but they were mad at each other. And they went to the rabbi, and they said, I'm done with him. And the other one said, I'm done with him. Well, the rabbi got the anger out and got to the root of the issue. So they were calmed down. And the rabbi said, okay, well, it's Jewish New Year. So what I want for you to do, I want you to turn brother to brother, and I want you to make a good wish for your brother, each one of you, before you leave. So the one brother looked at the other one, and he said, well, I wish for you whatever you just wish for me. And the other brother threw his hands up in the air, and he goes, there he goes again. He's starting it all over again. Well, why did he say that? Because he had ill in his heart against his brother, and his brother knew it. So he was just saying, whatever you're wishing for me, I wish for you. Because they're standing in front of the rabbi, and they want it to look good. Well, last week in 2 John, John was just going over to, we'll say, the elect lady. We don't know if that's code for a church or if it was a person, but you got to remember they were in the time of persecution, so he may have not been intentionally saying her name to protect her, because all they had then was the mail, and it was hand delivery. There was no guarantee on it, okay? So our scripture text for tonight I'm using is, beloved friend, I pray that you're prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering. So let's together read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll stop there. You ready? Uh-huh. From the elder to my dearly loved brother Gaius, whom I truly love, beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering. I was filled with joy and delight when the brothers arrived and informed me of your faithfulness to the truth. They told me how you continually live in the truth of Christ. It is the greatest joy of my life to hear that my children are consistently living their lives in the way of truth. Isn't that good? Amen. So last week, hi guys, while he did not mention names, this week he's calling out names. So the first name he mentions is Gaius, okay? And he's establishing him in front of everybody else because now he's got a letter that can prove who he is, that he's a good man. And what you need to know, there were three other mentions of this name in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19 and chapter 20, there's a man from Macedonia named Gaius. In Romans 16, there's a man from Derbe, D-E-R-B-E, and his name is Gaius. And there's a man in 1 Corinthians 1:14 from Corinth, and his name was Gaius. So one thing we do know about him, we don't know which one he was, but we know that that was a common name. So while it's a common name, I want you to realize that verse 2, where it says, beloved friend, the one that I used for your text, that scripture is taken out of context a lot of time. And I really liked what Steve said Sunday. If you don't read the whole thing with the thought before and the thought after in context, if you just take out a part of the text, you're going to get conned. So you need the whole context. And this is what happens. It's like the scripture that says that, if you do this, you'll get it back. Give out and you'll get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. If you read that, I've heard that so many times when the offering's taken up. But in context, it's judgment. He's talking about if you give out bad, you talk about other people, it's going to come back. Good measure, pressed down. Now, the world calls it karma, and I think that's hilarious because anything that's true comes from the Bible. But man names it so he can claim that it's his, so they rename stuff. But on this, a lot of prosperity teachers use this scripture to say, this means that you need to have all this. You need to have luxury. You need to have these great things to prove your stance with God. Well, let me just say this. The root word there is E-U-D-O-O-M-A-I. And the E-U is like the first part of that word is like where we get eulogy from. Means like you're speaking well of someone. You never hear a eulogy where they roast somebody, right? So he's giving out a good report. He's coming in. Yes, he's establishing Gaius as a good guy. But here's the thing. What he's really saying is, I want you to be healthy in your body as you are in your spirit. It's not about material possessions. And a lot of people use that because they equate it. If you don't have these certain things, then you're not walking with God. Guys, that's not in the scripture. Because if that was the truth, and hear me clearly, if that's the truth, if that's a measure of spirituality, then Peter, James, and John were all horrible people. Jesus was horrible. You and I are horrible, and the list goes on. Are you with me? Because it was the love. That was where the wealth was. But I'm claiming this scripture for us, and I want you, this is a prayer I've prayed, and I think it might help you because it's in line with His Word. There are times when I pray to Him, Lord, you know, I get migraines sometimes, and I try to work through them, but sometimes I'll lose vision in an eye. It's like a cluster, it's called a cluster headache, and I start with a little line, and in about 30 minutes, I can't see but a little, you know, so I have to be careful with that. Well, I'll try to work through it, but this is my prayer. Lord, I want you to help my body to keep up with the things that your spirit wants me to do. That's how I'm praying. That's how Shannon had mentioned that she needs prayer in her body, and that's how I'm praying for her when I pray for her. Lord, whatever you have for, call out a name, then I'm praying that their body will be able to keep up with the things that you want their spirit to do. Because God is never going to give you more than you can bear. And so there's a time to rest. He makes time to rest. But he also makes a time, he said there's a time and season for everything. So I think that's a really good prayer that we can pray according to his word. And this scripture out of 3 John 2 is a really good one for that. So it's not earthly value. It's your spiritual success is not equated to how many homes you own or how much you pay for your clothes or any of that. I've told you that little story before. I have a friend who can afford she can afford anything. And we got ready to go on a cruise, and they were paying for our cruise. And so I took my kids, all the kids were going. So I took my kids and I prayed and we went to the mall and there was this little store that Charity and Leah just loved. But it was expensive. And had like the matching shirt, the shorts, the socks, and the little hair pretty and even earrings, you know. So they wanted it. So I was going to go in and get them one new outfit, right? And Steve and I had allotted, you know. So we go in. Steve's like, now listen, don't you, because, you know, I'm bad to go, well, you know, they're just, I don't want my kids to feel less than the other kids, you know. So I go in there and, hey, always go to the back of the store. That's where the deals are, just letting you know. If you want the deal at Kroger, shop the outside, okay? But if you want it in a mall store, go to the back. So I go to the back, and sure enough, there's this clearance. Well, you know, you're just going to have to go through it. Well, sure enough, I found the shirt, the shorts, the socks, the hair pretty. And I didn't just find one outfit. I found three outfits apiece for the same price as he was going to let me get one. Because it was marked 75% off the lowest red line. Amen. So, man, I'm looking. And Jake is like, Mom, I'm done in here. It's a girl. It's a chick store. It's like, you and your dad go for a walk. I'm working. So we get ready and we go on this cruise. And we get on this cruise. You're the cutest thing. Yes, you are. I'm sorry, babies. Christina Red, she's going to take that. That's a child of God. I'll take it. For those of you who are listening online, there's a cute little baby here that is so intent to the word. Anyway, so we get on this ship. And her girls have on the same outfits as my girls. It looks like we bought them together. And she was like, and you could see the puzzled look on her face, because like, come on, they just paid for our cruise. So she's like, and I said, you will not believe what I paid for these outfits. So I'm telling her. And she discerned, she said, I am mad. She said, I don't know. God just, he loves me as much as he, and you just keep getting these deals and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, see, you both want what the other one has. You want the green to pay for it and she wants the red line. And I was like, God, forgive me, because he makes up the difference. So whether you got the green in your wallet or you got the sale sign, whatever it is, God provides the way you need it. So don't be jealous and looking at somebody else. And that's why I don't want you to get off. That's why we need to know the word, because some of these teachings, if a teaching makes you feel guilty and inadequate, it's not the Spirit of God. Just say it's not and get over it. So one thing I did want to point out, in the Passion Translation in verse 3, it says, if you continually live in the truth, and it says, of Christ, that is not in your other translations, but because it is implied that it's talking about Christ, because John doesn't mention Jesus or Christ, we're going to go, that's why the Passion Translation adds it, because it's clearly implied. What other truth could you be living in except for Christ? So I want you to know, if some of you are reading, you're like, hey, that's not in there. That's why that's in there. So then let's all read together verses 5 through 8. My beloved friend, I commend you for your demonstration of faithful love by all that you've done for the brothers on their journey. Even though they were strangers at the time, they have shared publicly with the congregation about the beautiful love of acts of love you've shown them. My bad. Now, if you would be so kind,
send them on their way with a generous gift in a manner that would honor God. You see, it was their passion for the glory of the name of Christ that launched them out. And they've not accepted financial support from unbelievers. They are deserving all the support we can give them, because through our giving, we can partner with them for the truth.
So here he is. He's established Gaius as a man that we can all look up to, who's faithful. Now he's coming in and he's encouraging him. Hey, I know what you've done. Thank you. And keep that up. So when he talks about demonstrated faithful love for these brothers on their journeys, what he's talking about are people who are missionaries going to other places and they needed a place to stop and rest. Or it could be an itinerant speaker. Let's just say that, you know, a prophet or someone was given a word and they were coming somewhere to speak. And he's saying, thank you that you're taking care of those people. So in verse 6, he says, they have shared publicly with the congregation about the beautiful acts of love you've shown them. This is really what happens, guys. When we love people the way that God wants us to love them, you're like an advertisement for God. Okay? And I don't want to embarrass Leslie, but even before service tonight, she saw a homeless guy out there picking up trash off the front yard. So she just went out to thank him. And when she began to thank him, look, we realize people have problems, but it wasn't the problem she was pointing out. She was encouraging him and thanking him for picking up trash in the church yard without coming and knocking on the door and getting food and putting it on trash on the yard, right? So what would that be to that man but an advertisement that, hey, man, there's something good in there. And it would be an advertisement for who? For God. Because that's who they're, hey, God bless you. Can we pray for you? You know, Vela's bringing down the glory on him. I'm sure, you know, if he was on a high, they were bringing him, sobered him up. He's probably ready to go. I'm just saying, you know, but that's what he's saying. So he knows, he's not just heard and seen it personally from Gaius. He's getting reports back from these other people. And can we just be honest? Have any of you in here just been so discouraged that anybody who did anything nice for you is what gave you the oomph to keep going, the will, the desire? So he's letting him know, hey, you're doing this the right way. And when verse 8, he's talking about they're deserving of the support. So what he says, because through our giving, we can partner with them for the truth. Well, what he's really saying is, when you help someone else, When you give to Christian Center, when we give and we send our missions money out, you're just as faithful to the work of that ministry around the world or at home as that missionary. Because not only are we encouraging them, but we're helping support their vision for what they're doing. And I want you to know, that's why I tell them, you know, if you're not sending me pictures, you need to send me something to see what's going on over there. I want to know that our seed is going in the ground that's being productive. And while I'm on it, let me just say this to you. The tithes are meant to pay for the needs of the church. But above that, there's offerings that are needed. So when you see a need and you feel it, for instance, somebody came up and said, look, I can't do the physical labor, but I want to help you with the cost of the product. They did their part just as much as the person who swung the hammer or typed the letter or whatever was involved. Are you with me on that? So he's saying in verses 1 through 4, here's Gaius, a man who, he walks the talk. You're doing what you said. And then in verses 5 through 8, he's letting him know, and what you talk, you walk. You're walking the talk, and you talk the walk. You're doing both. So now we're going to come in, and let's read verses 9 through 11. I have already written you once about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be in charge and recognized as first among you, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will address what he's doing, spreading his malicious slander against us. And not that content with that, he refuses to welcome our brothers, and he stands in the way of those who want to receive them and show hospitality by throwing them out of the church. Delightfully loved ones, don't imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is of God, and who does evil has not seen God, and particularly experienced God. So when I told you that I knew I was in rebellion to God, and once I just said, okay, if it's coming, I'm going to get in agreement with the Word, but I'm going to pray. His Word is, let's, whatever you got to do, do it quickly. God's speed. You know, I know I learned it from the King James, so that's the only way most of the time I know how to quote it is King James. But once you get rid of those things, you will have a peace, and peace is the thing that will lead you to wise decisions. I've told you before, but I want you to understand, for me, it's a red light, yellow light, green light. Okay? That's just the way. I don't see those things, but that's kind of how I think in my spirit. Sometimes it's like, whoa, absolutely not. You know, it's like a red, do not do this, hand up. Sometimes I'm not sure, kind of the yellow light. Well, okay, I'm just going to wait, and, you know, I'm not going to put the brakes on all the way, but I'm sure not going to put on the gas either. Let's just see what happens here. And other times it's like, girl, mash the gas. Let's get on with this, right? So when you come in here, he's letting you know. He is exposing Diotrephes, because what he's doing, he's power tripping. He got just a little bit of, they recognize me as the head of this church now, so I'm going to take over how things are run. See, when I wanted to take over how things were run and tell the Lord, I don't want to do this, what I'm really saying, and this is what he and I have, this open, honest communication. What I'm really saying is, I don't trust you because you're going to give me more than I can bear, which is a lie. But if his word is true that he won't give us more than we can bear, then I should trust him. Then I don't believe that he's a good father because I believe he's trying to hurt me. Are you following me? So when I get into those mindsets, I'm really thinking I need to fear God, not as respectful, but fear him because he's mean. That's a teaching of the world, and that's what he said in 2 John. That's a spirit of Antichrist because it's against who he is. So when you, and it's so acceptable now, this phrase, well, if God was good, how come? I'll tell you how come. Because we're here. We're evil. We're born into sin. We have an evil nature. And he's giving us directions how not to be so that the world can be full of his beauty and joy. It kind of aggravates me sometimes when they give credit to different people about their, you know, their teachings. And, hey, my grandmother was a full-blooded Indian. And people say, oh, the Indians had this thing where, you know, we took care of the earth. We were just caregivers of the earth. We weren't, you know, we've got it wrong. Hey, go back to the Bible. We're just caregivers. We're supposed to be taking care of the earth. He's even giving the earth time to rest. He's saying, you're going to go through this, and then we want the land to rest. We want a season of jubilee. Here's the foods that are going to bless you and the foods that aren't. Guys, you get back down to any teaching that is profitable, and I can find it in the Bible for you without spending millions of dollars to prove it. So, but this guy, now he's naming names. What really happened is they believe, because he's saying, I'll address some of the same things. He's going to talk about it again. What they really believed happened was that when he sent the third letter, sent by John, which is, these are letters. And by the way, 3 John is really the smallest book in the Bible in the Greek, in the original Greek. So he sent this letter out, and we really believe that what happened was he sent out 3 John, and it was intercepted. Okay? Either the messenger lost it, or he was a friend of Diotrephes, or got a little money for it, or whatever. But we believe that this was actually like 4 John, and he had to rewrite it, because this guy did not want to be found out. Okay? But he's naming names now. Listen, I'm all about covering up people. You know, I love the story of Noah. You know, I love how they covered him in his nakedness. You know, I'm telling you, there's not a situation you're going to go through that the Bible won't speak to. I remember when my dad had to have a quadruple bypass, and I was there staying with him. I'd do the night shift, and my mom would come during the day. And there was a time where we were both there, and they were going to do something, and I remember my dad was going to get up, and I thought, the thought came to me, just like that. They covered his nakedness. And I turned, and I just backed up. I said, guys, I'm going to go out now, and I'll be back in about 5 minutes. And I said, I'll send a nurse in, Mom. You won't be alone. But when I got out in the hallway, I felt like the Lord said to me, that would have stripped your dad's dignity had you stayed in that room. So I'm just telling you, in small ways and large ways, that the Lord will bring back scripture to you, and it will apply to where you are. So, but this guy, he's controlling. He believes in a controlling leadership. He doesn't view them as their co-workers. He views them as subservient to him. So in other words, he defies the word of John, who's established this work. He's defying him and saying, well, I've got the authority here, so we're going to do what I say. And maybe that would have worked, except that anybody that John is saying, hey, go to this church on your way and they'll help you, he's throwing them out. Why? I don't know. Maybe he's jealous of John. Maybe he hates that everybody loves John. Do you know sometimes people are mean because they want you to love them? They're jealous of your love for someone else, so they think they need to demand it. It's so backwards, but we can be so deceived in our thinking. So whatever his reasoning was, he comes in, and we see in verse 10, he said he's spreading his malicious slander against us. So what that really means is with these evil words, he's just talking nonsense. So let's don't believe things where we know somebody's character. Okay? So if you came to me and you said, I'm telling you right now, that Mike Mitchell is the biggest grump I've ever met. He is so, Pete, you dog. And I mean that in the kindest way, Cocker Spaniel. But, I would never believe that because Mike is so easygoing. I'm pretty sure Mike is like a 7-year-old trapped in an adult body. Like he has this, he's turning red. That, and a 7-year-old would do that. I'm just saying, Mike is so happy and, you know, like If I promise, if Eli comes in here and brings in a yo-yo, Mike would be like, yo-yo. It would be, so nobody could tell me that about him because I know him. I know his personality. I know his character. But what John is saying is, hey, this guy, yeah, Diotrephes, he's coming in and he's spreading slanderous things and people who don't know us are going to believe it. But I got a good one and I sent it out to the Bible study group and everybody about God is greater. But I'm telling you, there's a line in this song where she quits singing and she starts talking and she says, whatever the devil says I am, I say I'm not. Whatever the devil tells me I'm not, I tell him I am. And I was like, hey, yeah. Just and say it out loud. Give yourself some power. And I don't care if people think you're like weird. We are weird. If I'm in the store and I see something and it's not right, I'm like, God, I just cover that right now, Lord. Sometimes I'll just say, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. Somebody will look at me and say, well, I meant that. And they're like, okay. And they go on. And so, I mean, hey, if the worst can happen, it clears the aisle for you. Glory to God, right? But he was letting them know, watch out for him because he's slandering you. He didn't say, let's talk about him. He didn't go in and he didn't assault Diotrephes' character. He just said, here's some facts. Here's what's going on. And by the way, I don't like the way he looks at the women. I think he's lusting. He didn't add stuff to it. Are you with me on this? He's just pointing out what he knows for a fact, because the same reports he's getting back on Gaius that God, this guy, he not only did this for us, but he did it with such love and such, oh man, it was not like, here's $100, be blessed. It was like, $100, brother, let me encourage you. Here's some water, you know, let's wash these feet. But here's the report that's coming back. This guy, if he knows we're from you, he won't even have us in the house. So, now we're going to talk about, we're going to read verses 12 to the end of the chapter, okay? Now he's going to talk about Demetrius. Here's what he's done. He's established Gaius. He's endorsed Gaius as somebody you can trust. He's encouraged him. He's exposed Diotrephes. And now he's going to endorse to Gaius. He said, here's who you don't want to be with. And now he's going to endorse who he does want him with. So while Diotrephes was just talking the talk but not walking the walk, he's bringing him on in now, and he's going to tell him that Demetrius is somebody who's walking and talking what the Lord says. So let's read 12 through 15 together. As for Demetrius, everyone speaks very highly of him, and even the truth itself stands by his side. We too wholeheartedly endorse him. And you know that our recommendation is reliable. Although I have many more subjects I'd like to discuss with you, I'd rather not include them in this letter. Instead, I hope to visit you and speak with you face to face. Peace be to you, my friend. Your friends here send their loving greetings to you. Please greet each one of your friends there by name. So, he's endorsing him, and he's letting him know. He's saying he's wholeheartedly, in other words, I have no reservations about him, and he's reliable. So why would I believe John? Because Gaius has a relationship with him, and he knows him, just like I know Mike Mitchell. So he knows that if he's saying, hey, you can trust this guy, you can go ahead. And when he comes in and says, I want to speak with you face to face, really, what he's saying is, I just wanted to hit the highlights in this letter, but I'd rather speak to you face to face. The actual Greek would be mouth to mouth. But of course, you know, some homosexual group would make that something it's not. So what he's really saying is, I want to be face to face with you, okay? And, okay. So if when I said some homosexual group is offensive to you, I want you to know that I love everybody, but homosexuality is wrong. It's sin. The same way living with somebody outside of marriage is sin. So I don't want to put guilt on anybody, but I want you to understand something. The only reason I say it's sin is because God says that at the end of it, sin is going to bring you down and it's going to hurt you and there'll be a consequences involved. Because you are not going to have sexual relationship with somebody and it not affect your spirit or your heart. And people who know the Word of God, when they give themselves like that, I don't know about guys. All I know about is girls on the heart part. But I know when a God girl gives her heart out, her body physically, she feels that she needs to stay with that guy no matter what, because she's been taught to believe all things, hope all things, love all things, endure all things, because she wants to love the way God loves her. And I've seen so many fall into those patterns of abuse because they're trying to love someone who doesn't love them in a God way. I'm not saying sexually. I'm saying in a God way. Do you understand there's a difference? So looking out for them to nurture and protect like the marriage vows, to do those things and to commit to it like God has done. But our mind gets wrapped and then we're just hurt. And then if they're like, well, I don't like how you treated me, so I went and did this to get back at you. You're devastated. But you're thinking, well, I don't have a promise, so I got to stick with this and believe the best. And all I'm saying to you is this. When I use terms like that, it's not because I don't love people. Guys, you would be amazed who's in this church that has issues, and I don't care. Okay? I love them. I love everybody. I've already confessed to you my issue. James 2:10 says you keep the whole law, and yet if in one point you're guilty of all. So we're all guilty. Can we all just get clean? But I could see some little, oh, here she goes, you know, those haters. I'm not a hater, and I won't let you call me a hater. But I hate sin, and I hate what it does to people. So enough on that. So relationally, he was saying, I don't want to just text you. I don't want to just tweet you. I want to get some FaceTime here, and not just with an app. I want to meet you somewhere so I can get a feel for what you're feeling. You know, you can send a text to somebody. My teenage daughter could have sent a text to somebody and said, oh, I just love you. You're so sweet. And then somebody would, oh, she told him she loved him. You see what I'm saying? Words can be twisted and emotions behind them. And so it's better to do face-to-face. But what he was telling me is, I have a relationship with you. I'm longing just to see you. And we know that further because he comes down in verse 15 and he says, greet each one of our friends there by name. He wants you to know that they have such a personal relationship that they can call everybody by name. Now, it's really cute because somebody may have been to this church once and I don't know their name. But the cutest thing to me is when I go to the grocery store and I'll be doing something and, you know, the Lord will be like, encourage that person or something. They'll say, oh, well, where do you go to church? You know, whatever. And I'll say, oh, well, I go to Christian Center. I never say who I am. I go to Christian Center. Oh, I'm a member there. I go, that's my church. Really? Really? And I'll say, do you know the pastor? Which I probably shouldn't make them lie. But they're like, yeah, yeah, I know them. I was like, oh, that's so good. Well, I hope to see you there Sunday. I'll be looking for you. You know, I get that. Steve and I laugh. If everybody who came here said they did, like, you'd have to have a ticket to get in here, okay? But we've come to grips with the fact that maybe they've gotten food here, and so they look at it as their church. But he's let them know, hey, I want you to go ahead, and you just call them by name. When you meet people, have an interpersonal relationship with them. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Why does John care? I mean, why does he care? We know he's at least 100 years old when he wrote this. They debate between 100 and 103. But we've already established he's old. We've established every time he says, I'm the elder, what he's saying is, I'm the presbyter. I'm the last living apostle. The rest of them are gone. We know that he's been chained. We know that he's been beaten. We know that he's been boiled in oil. We know that he's been isolated on an island. That's all these things are happening to this guy, which he wrote Revelation last. But I love what John does in Revelation. He doesn't say he's the writer. He says the Lord Jesus is the writer. He's just the recorder. I love that. Because really, every sermon we teach, every book we write is plagiarism on the Bible. We owe somebody somewhere, but it's not the Catholic Church, so just be clear. So here's the thing. Does John need friends? Clearly, no. He doesn't need friends. God has supplied his needs. He's not insecure. It would be more of a burden, wouldn't you say, at 100, to keep being involved in all these people and to try to keep them on track? Wouldn't that be more of a burden than that? But he always talks about them, about my children. He always calls them children. And then, can the others not see a character of the false one? Is he having to write these letters because people are just stupid? No. But you know, sometimes we don't want to believe what we see. Well, you know, they're basically good, so yeah, let's just partner with them on this. Let me just be in agreement. You know, well, you know, that girl, she goes to church, so she can date my son. Really? Do you know her? Because I want to tell you, there's some real deceptive people in church. I wish it wasn't true, but hey, I'm telling you my business tonight. Let's all just be real. Could anybody give me an amen that there's times when you wouldn't want anybody to know you're a Christian because you're struggling with something? Hello. Thank you, honest love people. So he's not doing that because he thinks that they're stupid. He's doing it because he wants to remind them, stay faithful. Hey, it's going to be worth it. If we gave every child who's in school right now, especially middle school, because by high school, yeah, they've pretty much been ruined by culture. Sorry, but that's how I see it. But if we said to every middle school student, well, no, every elementary school student, your purpose, your goal in going to school today is not to look cute and sexy. Your goal in going to school today is not to find a boyfriend. Your goal in going to school today is not so you can get the approval of everybody in that room. Your goal today is to go to school and get as much knowledge as you can about history and whatever the teacher's trying to teach you, because you will be put in places of advancement that God has for you. So whatever you're being taught today, whether it's how to act or how not to act, whether it's a history lesson or mathematics, whatever it is, that's your goal for going to school. I want you to have the Nikes you want. I want you to not feel inadequate. I'm going to do my best to do that. But that's not the goal. The goal is not so that you're going to be the one when you walk down the hall, everybody goes, ooh, that's the one. That's not my goal for you. And if we started training and teaching children at a young age, this other nonsense would stop, because we've lost sight. I know I'm on a soapbox. I apologize, kind of. But we need to quit saying that the reason we go to school is to be validated by being sexy. Come on. We need to quit saying the reason we go to school is so we can find out how to do things like an adult, because you're not an adult. If I can tell you, and I'm 60 years old, and I'm unashamed of that, don't really like it, but, you know, what can you do? But if I'm telling you I still have struggles, I don't care if your 20-year-old tells you they're an adult because they're 18. They're going to make mistakes because you and I are still making them. And love wants somebody to know what the mistake is. So I'm just saying, this is why John's coming in. It's not because they're stupid. He just wants to keep their focus on, guys, you're responsible for what comes in this body, including you. So learn from Diotrephes. Don't be like him. I was just telling somebody this week, I don't know, maybe it was Leslie, I don't remember who it was, but when my kids were little and still pliable and weren't bent by culture, I'd take them places to see how teenagers acted. And so we went to the show one time, and there's these kids, and they're just talking and laughing, and, you know, these other kids are making out and everything, and you're like, what'd you take your kid? Because I wanted them to see it. And we're sitting there, and I was like, what do you think about that? What do you think's going on? And they're like, Jay goes, that is gross. They're like in their mouths. And I was like, I know. Isn't that horrible? And the girls are like, Mom, they are so loud. They are so rude. We paid to come in here. I was like, I know it. Watch it. That's That is called a teenager, and you don't want to act like that when you're a teenager. I want you to remember how this looked. And I want to tell you, I'm unashamed for my kids to have seen those. I took my kids and I showed them some stuff. I put the ads out there for Jake and I said, this is why this magazine is not in our house. And I opened it up and I showed him the ad and I said, you see that girl in that bikini? I said, son, toothpaste isn't going to do that for you. But at your age, that's pornography because you're only 7. You better hear me. I'm not kidding. And I said, Jake, we don't look at women like that. And I said, that's not why you buy toothpaste either, but that's what the world says. He's like, okay, Mom, okay. So we go somewhere, and we're in Mexico, and we're on this vacation, and here comes these topless women. And I was like, I'm like trying to get Steve's attention, and he's like, gay, I got this. I was like, oh, dear Jesus, he's going to be ruined for life. Like, his eyes are going to pop out or something, you know. Really, I'm, like, freaking out trying to get him to do it. You know, I was like, and he's like, just, yeah. I could say it's defiant, but it was God. So he goes over there, and he goes, Jake, what do you think about that? And he looked at him, and he said, Dad, if Adam, and no kidding, Jake's about 7. He's like, Dad, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, it wouldn't make any difference to us. And Steve looks at me and he's like, that's right, son. But there is sin in the world and we're going inside now. And that was the end of it. And I was like, that's right. We wouldn't even know. We wouldn't know it was bad. But I'm not afraid. You with me? John is letting them know. I'm not telling you this stuff because you're stupid. I'm telling you this stuff because I want you to be aware that there are people that once they get a little power under their belt, they could have been great, but all of a sudden they can change and become power trippers. You know what I'm saying. And so, yes, I want you to know. I believe that we need to let our kids know you're going to school to get an education because guess what? Those who aren't getting the education are struggling on the other side. Can I get an amen? Is there anybody in here who'd like to go up to that youth group and testify what it's like to have to go back and get your GED instead of having a diploma and the difference it makes on what your pay is? Amen. Can I get the amen? Amen? Can I get the amen that you're emotionally scarred because you let some liar make you feel cheap, like you had to be some kind of sexed up hoe before you could get their approval? Can I get an amen, amen, that it left you scarred? Okay, well, let's just move on. I'm done with that. So, he's saying, you know, it's funny because the truth is, John is not saying this because of idle gossip. He's saying this because he knows it. And God has put him in leadership over those people. You in here who are parents, has anybody never as a parent experienced a time when God told you, go check on that kid? Anybody in here never had that sensation? All right, just to be safe, because there are some kids in here. How many of you have had it? Raise your hand. Oh, come on. Mike, you ain't a parent yet, but you know you felt it. You knew somebody shouldn't be doing something they was doing. So here's the thing. I call it the momadar, okay? M-O-M-M-A-D-A-R. It's like a radar, but mama's in on it. Right? I got a momadar, just like I have a praydar. Sometimes it's like, you better start praying for them. And I'll say to some of you may have heard me say, you're on my praydar. But there's something the Holy Spirit, listen, John didn't even have the power of the Holy Spirit, but you and I have it. It's inside of us. He's real. He's like, he's the one who's shining the red light, the yellow light, or the green light. And we're just fooling ourselves when we're in rebellion to him. I was miserable for a week because I don't want to do it. You love me. You won't give me more than I can bear. Please, God, take this. I'm asking you for peace. Why aren't you giving me peace? I'm telling you how I feel. And it's like, you're in rebellion, gay. Do you trust me as your father? Yes, Lord. No, you don't, because you don't believe I'm going to let this be for your good. You're saying to me there's a place where all things don't work for good. And that's when I'm like, you know what? Then I'm getting in agreement with your word. Lord, bring it, and whatever you do, do it quickly. And you can ask everybody in the office, Leslie, is this a true? I'm praying it this week. Angela, Annette, Emma, Lord, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. So y'all better fasten your seatbelts because I'm ready to move forward. And let's get this stuff behind us, right? Because we want health in our body, not just our physical body, but in our church. So why does John call the church members children? Because he looks at them as his, because they've been born of God under his leadership. And so he thinks of them as his kids. I just want to say this to you. Only the mature can appreciate being treated like a child by a parent. Only the mature can appreciate that. My mom told me, I wrote this letter one time when I was at college, and I was like, you know, I just want to thank you guys, because I saw some really messed up people. And I was like, I just want to thank you guys. I want to thank you for every spanking I got. I was like, I want to thank you that you told me no when I shouldn't have had stuff. I want to thank you. And my mom just laughed. She called me. She said, I got your letter. I was like, well, what'd you think? She's like, Gay, I got another one from your older brother and your older sister, and I expect one from your younger sister in a couple of years. And she said, when you mature, you recognize the value of what a parent is giving you. When we're in rebellion, all we see is, I didn't get my way. Oh, it should have been a louder amen than that, right? When we're in rebellion, you're just mad because you're not getting your way. I still get in rebellion. I've admitted it to you, but I'm telling you, get out of it quick. And get your peace on, all right? Because that's how you're going to know if you're in the right place or not. So, he loves the way Jesus loved him. And it wasn't out of a love just for Jesus, I don't think, that he was this compassionate. But I think that it was the people that, because he had led them to the Lord, he wanted to make sure, like a good parent, that they didn't get off track. I think that's why he did the things that he did. Because it wasn't convenient. He's in pain. Anybody in here in pain and you ain't even near 50 yet? Hello? Rez, she be lifting that hand, Christina. That's what I'm saying to you. You don't feel like messing. It wasn't convenient. When he says, I'm going to come and visit you so I can see you face to face. Guys, it's not like jumping in a car. It's like we're walking. Okay? It's like hot. It's dusty. You got to carry your food on your back. There is no drive-through. There's no hummus and falafels on the side of the road, okay? You got to keep going. And then I want to leave you with this at the end. I call it like the trust-o-meter. You know, it's like, I'm not sure if I should do that. I'm kind of, yes, go ahead and do it. And that is the first word in verse 15. What would that word be? What is it? A little louder. Peace. That's where your trust-o-meter is. If you're in peace, be confident about it. If you're not in peace, you better cease. Okay? He says, peace to you, my friend. Your friends here send their loving greetings to you. Please greet each one of my friends there by name. It's because he knows you. Jesus knows you. And he wants you to have peace. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace. What? Whose mind is stayed on me. I love that old Andre Crouch song. He will keep you in perfect peace if you'll only keep your mind on him. The other day, I was feeling really bad after Sunday about, you know, realizing I was in rebellion because I just wanted what I wanted and, you know, basically accused God of being mean because he didn't, you know, I was going to have to go through something. And I was feeling bad about it. I thought, well, you know, here's the accuser. Well, you really don't love him. Lord, if there's any place in my heart where I really don't love you, and I want that darkness out of me, you know, and I'm just bawling, you know, I'm terrible. You've been so good to me. I have no reason. And then I just heard the Lord say, what's your first thought every morning? I was like, well, Lord, you know, that's you. I mean, I don't have to doubt that. You know, now if the alarm goes off before me, I might be thinking, oh, Jesus, cut that alarm off. But It's always including him, right? Plus, my song is always bulletproof. That plays, that's my wake-up song. But I was like, well, Lord, it's you. And he's like, Gabe, I'm not condemning you. Why would you let anything else? I didn't show you that in your life to condemn you. I showed you that in your life to bring you close because it was separating you and me. There was a gulf there. You needed the darkness exposed because you couldn't trust me. And you can trust me, and you need to know that. And I need to know that you know it because I can't tell you my secrets if you don't trust me with them. And man, there was such peace, and I've had such peace ever since then, because that's what he wants you to have, is peace and confidence. So while I have not enjoyed the things that I've been through this week, I can tell you I'm watching many people go through some hard things this week. Don't lift your hand unless you want to get prayed for. I'm just saying, I'll come over there and lay it on you. I'm just saying, many people are going through things. I think partially, this isn't a political statement. You can like me or not like me. But I think part of it is that it's spiritual because the American embassy is being reestablished with Israel and Jerusalem. And I think there's a fallout in the airwaves. I think some of the recent legislation that's taking funding away from certain things, I think that's a good thing. And I think that, you know, we don't judge anybody, but guys, we shouldn't have to pay for sin either. So it looks like to me there may be a fallout on us individually because there's a national answering to some of our prayers. Listen, let me just say this. I don't know that Donald Trump is a Christian, and I don't know that he's not. But what I do know is this. I serve God, and I don't need Donald Trump. But God's going to use Donald Trump the same way he used a donkey, King Nebuchadnezzar, and David when he had spittle running down his beard acting like a crazy man. He can still use us. Oh, you with me? Yeah. Let's believe for it. So no, there is no such thing as a frenemy in God's economy. And here's what happens. Well, we're all Christians. They're in the church. Let's keep giving them money. You know, every time they ask me, we're going to give them money. Guys, there's no word frenemy, okay? You need to know, are you helping somebody by giving them money? Are you helping somebody by telling them it's okay how they live? Are you helping them when you tell them it's not okay how they live? Because that can push people to rebellion. You got to have the peace of God and know when to speak and when not to speak. But the truth is, John loved them enough to say, just because that guy's in leadership, it doesn't make what he's doing right. Just be aware. But he also said, don't treat him ill. Right? Because let God deal with that. If I take my hands off of it, God can put his hands on it. Okay? So just come in, and I left this one little scripture for you. It's that cute little thing there to the right of the screen. And it's from verse 4. And he says, well, the King James says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. I want to tell you, I bought that little plaque one time at Ladies Retreat, and it was this big. And I never hung it on the wall because I cried over that plaque. And I spoke over that plaque, and I spoke the word of God, and I said, God, my children will walk in truth. I did plant the truth of God in them. It will have a full productive fruit, God. And it seemed the more I prayed it, the harder it got. And I just kept saying, God, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe. And the thing that I had to see happened. And then I gave it to someone else and said, it's time for us to start believing for yours too. And guys, we cannot give up believing. It's never too late for your kids. But please, I think that there's some 20-year-olds that are acting like they're 14. I think there's some 22-year-olds that are acting like they're 14. And when God said to me, will you do this? And I said, no, I don't want to do that. It was like, and how old are you today? And I was like, probably 13 or 14. Don't make me do it. And I knew I was being immature. But only a mature person can recognize that what a loving parent is doing is for your good. And guys, that didn't come with an age. That comes with wisdom. So we're going to keep believing, yes, but I want you to believe with other people for their kids. But listen, if somebody's 20 years old and they still in a acting like a fool up in your house, don't wait to be like some judge in New York when they're 30 and you got to get a judge to throw them out. Y'all need to say, right, you know what? You want to be an adult? You think you are an adult? Here's the bill. Here's the, give me the car keys. You get your own ride and quit calling the one I gave you a hoopty, and you get out there and earn your way. You with me? You want to be an adult? I'm going to show you what an adult is. And they're going to find out really quick that mom and daddy hadn't had it easy, that there were sacrifices that were made. But I want to tell you something. The one who made the greatest sacrifice for your life, he's going to make a way for you. And he's going to make a way for your kids. But it's not going to be by berating. It's not going to be by walking out of peace and getting in agreement with anger. It's going to be by walking in peace with the Word of God. And there comes a time, like John, where you have to say, look, here's this and here's this. And I cut you loose. I cut you loose. Make your mistakes. I'm still going to love you. Make your mistakes. But learn from them. I want every scar I have for my stupidity to have value. That's why I'm happy to tell you tonight about my failures this week. Because I don't want you making my mistake. Got it? So we're going to stand up tonight. I left those scriptures on the back there. I want you to keep reading that and realizing that when he brings truth to you about somebody, it's not so you can condemn them. It's so you can pray for them. Because I got no greater joy than to know that all people walk in truth. And really, if we're brothers and sisters, you're my family. I want you to be at peace. And I want you to have his peace. And we're going to pray right now while I think there's some wounds that are open. So we're just going to pray right now over those places. Lord, tonight we come against condemnation. It is not of you. I come against insecurities tonight. That's not of you, God. But you said when we're looking to you, our mind would be at peace. You said, God, that you would give us wisdom if we asked for it. And you said that, Lord, you would give us a spirit not of timidity, but of boldness. And God, tonight I'm praying that for your people in this room. God, I'm praying over parents right now who are feeling guilty over what they didn't do. In the name of Jesus, get your eyes off yesterday and get your eyes on the cross. And God will turn all those failures not into loss, but into wins. Because a testimony is a win-win. Lord, we receive your wisdom tonight. Some of you are like, you know, I don't get it the way you get it. You will. You're like, I don't know the word, but I hear the Lord keep saying, you got my spirit. My spirit is my word. I'll speak it to you, and later you'll see it in the Bible and go, oh, wow. He's happy to do it either way. Lord, I just thank you right now for wisdom to read your word, to speak to you, to invite you in these places. And God, I want to thank you that you're greater than my fear, God. I want to thank you that you're greater, Lord, than my doubt. I want to thank you that you're patient with me, God, when I'm obstinate and rebellious. I want to thank you tonight, God, that your word is true and pure and it's a shield. Everybody puts their hope in it. God, help us tonight to get our hope out of us and onto you. God, help me, Lord. I cry out in sincerity, God. Any places where I have pride and I think that I can handle things, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need your help. I'm telling you tomorrow, God, I need your help. And the next day, and if I could quote the whole Bible, God, I need your help. I'm needing you, Lord. Wisdom, and peace with it. Father, we just thank you for this word in John. We thank you, Lord, for someone who didn't care about their own inconvenience, but loved you enough to reach beyond what was convenient and to give us a word that's still speaking and alive today. Thank you for that, Father. Set your children free tonight with peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Now listen, through these doors to the left of the chandelier where the cloud is going, there's a meeting tonight for It's a, like a 30-minute meeting for parents with children. And if you got grandkids or if you're thinking, you know, maybe I just need some wisdom with something that I don't have a kid back there, but I'm need. Come on back and have cake and coffee with us. They're going to have cake and coffee and tea. And it's just going to be maybe 30 minutes max. Okay? I already told them I was going to say that, not to make me a liar. So if you want to do that, or if you just want to look at this beautiful hallway, look what's happening for VBS. Enjoy it.